Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. We're on Twitter under FFR Podcast. And remember to send in your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Check out our friends, 1893 Coalition, Intellectual Nonsense, and Enthusiast Project. And we're back and better than ever. We had some technical issues last week. But my name is Andy. I got
Noel.
Daniel.
And Daniel. So after Danny working on fixing that episode last week with our technical issues.
Yeah, I was able to salvage my parts on there.
Yeah, somehow yours managed to, you were able to survive that fucking holocaust on your hard drive or whatever happened.
The tech knows what's good conversation, so I kept my stuff in there.
I'm sure.
So we are back. It's been another semi-eventful week. Besides fixing the episode, Danny, what else did you have going on?
You know, it was pretty chill, like you said, with the Easter weekend. I had taken Friday off to go check out the Batman Superman movie.
Okay.
So, yeah, so got tickets for me, Alana, and Junior. Went out to check it out. And then, like I mentioned last week, or I'm not sure if it got cut off or not, but saw the Man of Steel movie the previous week to kind of prep up for it. So got the three movies, did the whole nine, did the 3D, went in the morning on Friday.
So IMAX or just regular 3D?
No, it was just that real 3D at Marcus.
Oh, okay.
So check that out.
I like the fake 3D better.
Yeah, I know, right? It's the real versus the fake one. It's kind of like extra strength Tylenol. I'm like, do they sell regular strength Tylenol? Does that even exist?
So the fake, the real 3D, and then there's like the Walmart 3D.
Yeah, I guess
the generic.
The generic equivalent.
The Aldi 3D?
Yeah, some shit like that.
But, you know, on the 3D front, there is a couple of scenes that really, you know, show the 3D off, and you're like, wow, it looks nice because it's in 3D. But not too much, man. I'm starting to realize a lot of these movies that kind of horseshoe in 3D, and it's not really made for 3D. It kind of just blends in, and you start not seeing the 3D, and it just looks like a regular movie. And then there's points where you realize it, and you kind of have to train your mind and say, oh shit, I forgot this is in 3D. Oh yeah, now I can see the perspective. Now I could see this. Now I could see that. So it almost just becomes normal.
Well, what happens is when the 3D craze was going on, I think there was like a handful of movies that are actually shot in 3D, like with 3D cameras. And a lot of them, I think, I remember for like Avengers, Whedon said like, fuck this 3D camera shit. It was like too, technically it was like a lot of extra work. So what they do is when they say they're in 3D, they just run it through some
software or something,
and they just convert certain scenes into 3D. But there's most of these movies are really, there's nothing that was, there's a, maybe like a scene or two that was shot in actual 3D, and the rest of it, they just throw it through the software.
Well, it's an outdated technology, isn't it? 3D's been around for a long time. It's
It's evolved a little from what originally it was, but like with the, when they went through that 3D craze, like with Avatar and all that.
Yeah,
it just Cameron took his time to film that in 3D, but a lot of there's like, I remember like around that time they made the Wrath of the Titans, the Clash of the Titans sequel.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, it's just 3D. People were shitting on it because they just threw that thing through the machine because they're like, this is a lot of money. It's expensive. It's difficult. So, and that's like one of the worst, not the worst, but it was a pretty shitty 3D movie, and everybody took that. Yeah, you know, and then they just took it and like, this is not great. And then like for a while, I remember they're remaking all these movies into 3D, and like it tanked, and like there was really no, people just gave up on it.
I don't know if it's the, what do they call it, photography or what is that?
Photography, the way it's filmed.
The way it's filmed, because
cinematography,
because the way the color is. A lot of it is really saturated on Superman, or it's really like dark because, you know, it's like dark scenes. Mm-hmm. And where if you go see a 3D movie, like when we went to see SpongeBob in 3D, man, the 3D really pops. I'm not sure if they filmed it in 3D or, I mean, it's animation, so I don't know if it's easier for them to do it.
Animated is more, a little bit more easier.
Yeah, because even the Lego movie, when we saw that in 3D, I mean, those popped and you got to see really some good depth, and it looked really cool. But Superman, there was a couple scenes, and then afterwards, I even forgot I was watching it in 3D.
actually, that's a good point that you're making. Disney, in particular, for the animated movies, it switched from 2D to 3D around in the 2000s, early 2000s. Toy Story and all those came out.
Yeah.
But then they made it official. Like they said, they weren't going to do any more 2D films, at least for the foreseeable future. And the last one was, I believe, this is an article I'm reading, by the way. I'm not that big of a Disney fan. I like Disney.
I love Disney, man. Some good shit.
I love Disney, but anyway, I was reading this article.
Lion King was my jam back in the day.
Dude, I remember you took me to that.
Yeah.
I was like 6 years old. I still remember Mufasa falling. I was
hell
like, no.
Yeah. I'm like, no. But yeah, no, it's interesting. You said, what was the last one, or do you recall?
The Princess and the Frog or something like that in 2009, I think it was.
The last, like, airbrushed 2D. Or, you know, that oil painting look.
Yeah, they even showed, like, what Frozen would have looked like in 2D.
Okay.
And they showed, like, how hand-drawn it would be, and it looks different. I'm like, wow, but it still looks good. I like that 2D style, but I understand why people want 3D. It's just, you know, catching up with the technology.
Nah, sure. But as for the movies, I don't want to spoil anything. People are still out there trying to go see it or whatever, or maybe they're not interested in it. It's been getting a lot of crappy reviews, and I can kind of understand some of them. I'm a Superman, Batman fan. I've read all their comics, and not all their comics, but I read a lot of their comics, and was a real follower back in my teenage years. Not so much now, but I'm a big fan, and I'm trying to get Junior into it. But I could see why people are hating it. The story is kind of broken a little bit. It's a really quick scenes. You know, everything is shot. Every scene's like 5 minutes long, and it's really fast. It's like a bullet, you know, interaction between Clark and Perry White, and it's like a 5 minute scene, and then boom, next thing, and then the next scene, and then the next scene, and then the next scene. It's just like over and over and over again, and it's like. It's like overloads your brain. They don't let these scenes develop. Now, I don't want a Tarantino movie either where there's these like 30-minute drawn out, you know, dialogue scenes either. But I think they needed a little bit more balance and let these scenes develop. Let your connection with the characters develop a little bit more. You know, get some good acting out of your guys instead of just these quick bullet point scenes.
I think that lends more to what you're telling me. I haven't seen the movie, but it's more for like this generation. They don't want like this long story. They just like segments, I guess. You see a lot of new movies. That's what it is. It's just like boom, like scene, action, scene, and then it's like nothing. There's no dialogue, or they want you to see the shit fight, the fights, the explosions, and then they'll have something in between or a joke, and then they go back to fighting.
Yeah,
there's not much depth. I think that's what it's lacking in those movies. But I don't know, do people really go for that when they see Superman and Batman? I guess I would like to see it, but is it really what rating was it? Was it rated R?
I think it was PG.
I think it's PG-13, but they did film it with rated R intended, because I heard that the Blu-ray is going to release rated R, so it's going to be like an extra 30 minutes. And to be honest, a lot of the scenes that I did see, I could see how rated R could take it to the next step. Like you'll see like the sword plunging into something, and I'm like, that scene could have been like, you know, 30 seconds longer and show more graphically that sword, you know, impaling the guy and kind of digging in there and blood splurting out, you know. So I could see how rated R could be just another 10 seconds of film. So I think it's going to hit rated R pretty easy once it comes out on Blu-ray, like they said. And they're also, for you guys out there that are families, there is some sexual innuendos in the movie. Clark Kent, man, he gets busy in the movie, and so does Batman, man. They both, they're playboys, man. They're about getting some. So,
Superman ain't about getting some.
I know it's a big Mallrats joke, but you know, how would Superman have sex with Lois Lane? Well, they figured it out in this movie, man. They did it. They got it.
Superman didn't slow down one bit, huh?
Nah, man. He put all that super strength in there. So for you family people out there, man, they don't show the scene because obviously it's PG-13, but that innuendo is in there that, you know, that start of, you know, that scene is there. So I could just imagine PG-13, man, they start going nuts, ripping off shit. I don't know. But or maybe that's the rated X version. I don't know. But we'll have to see. But as for the movie, I enjoyed it. I'm a fan. It's not the greatest movie, but it's not terrible like most people are saying. But if you're not a superhero fan, then you might not like it. You might not, you know, if you don't have, you know, a passion maybe for these characters, you're not going to dig it probably. But other than that, man, I'm just recuperating, man. I'm a little sore. I was helping Saul move yesterday, so was Noel. went out in full force trying to move out his whole house because he has to move out by the first. He sold his house, and he's actually having his other house being built. So he's in a weird situation where he's got to move twice because his new house is not ready yet. So he moved all his stuff into a storage unit, which it wasn't too bad, man. There was a lot of room, but by the end of it, we took it all up, man. We filled that thing up to the ceiling. I gotta give props to Saul's brother-in-law. He works at that shit. He works for Amazon, and he worked at UPS before that. So he's all about building them walls and building the shit up to the ceiling. So
yeah, I was shocked. Like the whole truck was full. Yeah. And after we emptied the whole truck, we're trying to fit it into this, you know, small storage space. Not too small. I mean, it's
pretty sizable. Pretty big size, but it was still small compared to the truck, or at least it looked like it.
I was shocked, man. He did a good job packing everything up.
No, for sure.
So did everything, obviously, then everything fit in there?
Yeah, everything except the stuff from the garage. We were going to take a second trip because we even filled up the truck. But the only thing we didn't take was all the stuff in the garage. But we did take like the lawnmower and the snowblower and stuff like that. So we were able to fit like most of the big stuff. Very little stuff left in his house other than clothes and maybe like the baby's bassinet and stuff like that. Because you can't have the baby sleeping on the floor. But yeah, I guess he's moving into my grandma's house for the next few months while they finish their house. And then he's still
Isn't
got
your grandma live in Chicago? Or that's the
No, she lives in Franklin Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my other grandma that passed away quite a few years ago, she used to live in the city.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But no, my mom's grandma, she lives in Franklin Park, so they're going to be moving in there for a couple months because I think I heard May or June or something like that. The house is going to be done. So, yeah, man, just a little sore, man. I'm kind of out of shape, so... And all that heavy lifting and walking, man. It was tons of walking back and forth, back and forth. And so I'm sore, man. I can like just veg out today, man. That's probably my goal, other than Easter lunch that I got to go to.
Nice. Yeah. Are you that sore, Noel? Or are you just like you're ripped? So you.
yeah. Noel and Efren, man. They're the ones that both exercise. So you know, I was just like, man, these guys are gonna be running laps around me.
No, man. I mean. I'm trying to get in better shape every single day. You know, that's the whole goal. But nah, I wasn't in the right shape for what we did yesterday.
No, I don't think anybody was, man.
I don't know if any kind of stretching would have made that easier, man. But yeah, I'm feeling my arms are pretty sore.
Yeah, no, sure. And there wasn't really that many heavy pieces, but it was just a lot of it, man. And it was back and forth, all these boxes. Because Vanessa does a good job about packing, man. She packs all these boxes.
Yeah, for sure.
Bubble wrap, shrink wrap, everything, man.
Labeled
so,
everything fragile and stuff, so we know like it's it's nice.
So it was cool, man. It did take a long time because obviously you're moving the entire house, everything inside of it. It's not like just buying furniture and moving that in. So yeah, man. Yeah, a little sore from that.
How many trips did you guys make to the start? Is just one? You just loaded up like a truck or something and then just moved and drove everything over there one shot?
Yeah, because Sal's brother-in-law has he's an Amazon truck driver, so he brought his truck. So I forget how much wide he said, 63 feet or some shit like that. So we loaded that sucker up to the brink and we took that over in one ride. We were planning for a second one, but that first one loaded up the whole storage unit. So like I said, just a few little left items, but we'll see where we can cram that. Maybe in my parents' house or I offered my garage. So we'll see what happens. But for you, Noel, man, with the weather starting to get nicer, man, you mentioned that you got some plans. You've been reading this article about things to do on the summer.
Yeah. Well, you know, the winter being over now, you kind of start thinking about, you know, what you want to do during the year. And the weather's getting better. But I was reading this article about like when it's best to start a relationship, just hypothetically, if you would. And it said kind of in the summer months, starting around May. It says like that most people, like they get in relationships around the summer, and that's why like people more likely be born in the winter or in the spring. But yeah.
No, yeah. It does make sense, because like you were asking us, when's our birthday? You know, mine's in August, Andy's is in December. So, you know, it does go to think that, you know, our parents were getting busy in the summer and had the babies during the winter.
It makes sense scientifically, I guess. And in the summers, like, you're more likely to go out and have fun. So, and then plus, like, if the birthdays are in spring or winter, you have no reason to feel, like, obligated, you know?
No, sure.
What about if you're, like, you live in, like, the Southwest or out West Coast? It's warm year all around, man.
Yeah, man, those babies are probably spring babies.
They're, like, babies all the time.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. Well, Chicago, I guess that's why it's me.
No, sure. Oh, so that's good, man. So you're going to put more efforts into finding Mrs. Perfect, or at least Mrs. All Right for now?
No. See, it's kind of hard to say.
Uh-oh.
So, all right. No. All right. So instead of finding Mrs. Right, I have to be Mr. Right.
Okay.
That's it. Oh, she'll find me.
Oh, shit. All right.
I mean, she'll know I'm Mr. Right. That's it.
All right. No.
What? I'm confused.
Instead of finding the perfect person, you become the perfect person.
But you're not going to do anything? Or, like, I'm not saying, like, you're not Mr. Right, but, like, how you initiate all that?
That's a topic for another day.
Okay.
I at least the gist that I'm getting is that you're going to work on yourself so that you will attract the desire that you want from a woman to come to you. But obviously you're not just going to sit there and just wait for these women to flock to you either.
It's a interesting topic to discuss. I've always been the one to initiate, to plan, to organize, to chase, so to speak. And it yields certain results, right? But I feel like a change of pace, a change of direction is probably what's needed. It rings true to me, like, instead of trying to find this woman that fits my needs, try to have my needs, like, be fulfilled by myself, be the best that I can be, you know, just happy by myself. That way, when I, you know, start, you know, mingling, I guess, and she'll find me pretty much. Like, she'll be looking, or maybe not, I don't know. And then she'll see that, you know, I'm worthy of giving a chance. It's kind of hard to explain. It's all about the law of attraction. I'm actually reading this other book, too. I've been putting it off for a long time. It's kind of a bigger book. I don't always read too much, but when I do, I want to read something that's for sure going to have an impact. So there's this book called The Law of Attraction, and we'll see everything that it has in there. We'll see how it works out.
Oh, cool. I'm starting to kind of understand what you're saying, just because since I got married and I'm no longer in the market and I don't really try to go out there and put myself out there, I find that more women talk to me. Like, we'll go, and obviously, you know, it's all in content, because we're at Hooters or whatever, some restaurant. Of course, they're going to be talking to you all nice, you know, because they want you to give them a good tip and, you know, and maybe come back and give them more business. So, you know, those situations, obviously, they're going to talk to you. But even in others where we're just at a bar just drinking, I've noticed that women feel more comfortable just talking to me. Or maybe it's just my, you know, me realizing it now that I don't really care about it because, you know, I'm married and I'm not looking for anything. But these women just start talking to you, and I don't know if they feel my security, and that, you know, I'm not looking, so they don't feel threatened. So they come to me and they start talking to me.
Some of it is, I've read and seen stuff about this, that, you know, you're obviously, so you're not looking, they see the ring, they know you're married, so something in their DNA, you know, women, men crap, but so they're not as instincts, threatened, man. Yeah, like, so they're like, he's less to do anything to me because he already has someone.
So I'm not the lion no more, or I am the lion?
Yeah, it's like they put their guard down a little. You're not a threat. So when dudes walk up to chicks, and like, you know, you go up there right away, their guard's up, like, all he wants to do is fuck me, or he just wants something out of me. So right away, you got to break down that wall a little bit. And that's people who, like, you know, the smooth talkers and shit, like, you always hear 90% of it is the way you talk to women. It's just, you got to get them to bring that guard down, and hopefully they let you in. And when generally with guys who are married, I mean, that's why they see the ring, so automatically they're like, he's not going to do anything. He's married. And if he does do something, I mean, he's like, well, he's a fucking scumbag. Like,
yeah.
Right away, they're going to be like, fuck this guy.
No, sure. I do notice that. So if you carry that feeling with you, even if you're single and not married, I could see how women will, when you do approach them, or when they approach you, or when you're just in a situation of conversation, how they will continue a conversation because they feel that confidence in you, and they're just like, well, I don't feel threatened because this guy's not, you know, hanging over me trying to hump my leg, you know. It's more like, you know, yeah, let's have some conversation, let's get to know each other kind of shit. So I could see how that works, man. So hopefully it does work out.
And then it being in May, like, I feel like if the people that I would meet, probably less chance that their birthdays are coming up. So let's say there's a woman that she finds me attractive, I find her attractive, and we're talking, and, you know, we have things in common and all that. There won't be any pressure, any obligation, like, all right, Valentine's Day is coming up, I have to get her this, or this holiday is coming up, or her birthday, and then, or my birthday, or whatever. It's just, all we're focusing on is getting to know each other, getting to that spiritual level. That's really what I want.
No, sure.
Spiritual.
Yeah, because
don't you want to get relations going right away?
That'll come, dude. I'm a patient guy. I'm not trying to rush anything.
Can't be too patient, man.
It depends.
Then you get,
man,
put in that friend zone.
No, see, I don't.
Well, I could understand the birthday thing, like you said, because you don't want that pressure of like, all right, now I got to get them a present. Do I get them this or do I get them that? How are they going to perceive this present? And now this thing becomes a big drawn out, thought out. You know, do I give him a flowers, or is flowers too forward? Is this? So I could feel that.
Real quick, now that I'm thinking about it, lately with all the social stuff, like on Facebook and Twitter.
For the podcast, you're saying?
For the dating stuff. So also, like, the way you tweet, or I'm sorry, the way you text message women. Now today, that's like a big thing. If you put the emojis you put on there. I was reading about how, like, some women, like, if you send an emoji or you don't, or what emoji you put, like, that can be construed in many fucking different ways.
Oh, yeah,
I started
for sure.
Laughing about that, but, like, it kind of explains some of the thought processes of, like, what women, when you send them stuff, and, like, okay, like, I get, so if they put this, I kind of get what they're saying, but, like, it's like this long out process now with the emoji shit, and I had a laugh. But I mean, apparently there's a lot of thought into what emoji you put or what women respond with.
See, that's like the Asperger's in me. It's like, that's over my level. Like, I don't really care about shit like that. Like, I just say what I say. I'm a true guy, dude. If they don't like it, they don't like it. I'm not gonna be like contemplating what fucking emojis to put. No, dude.
Well, no, I'm just telling you. But that's just like the thought process that goes to show. Just the way from dating now to what it was like, I'm 38, 20 years ago. It's amazing because it's just weird. And like
the evolution of tech,
the evolution of with technology, and like, it's weird. I'm like, that's a thing now. Like, a woman really, like, they're deciphering what an emoji means when they send something back to you. It's just, I'm just like, damn, this is getting fucking weird.
Yeah.
So I try to figure it out. It's way too complicated for me to ever understand, like, just in the intricacies of how anybody would, like, interpret a message. I've had people where I'll text, and I won't get a response for, like, maybe an hour. And I guess I kind of I read into that, and, like, that's, like, the thing. That's, like, you have to wait a certain amount of time before you respond.
Yeah, that's a whole fucking thing.
And I'm like, that's so unreal. Like, why? I don't understand it. To me, it's like, I get a text, and if I'm not doing anything that's, like, you know, life threatening or whatever that I need to, like, focus on, I'll text right back. Like, I'll be like, okay, here you go. Like, I have enough time to take for you. I can respond right now. Like, I don't have to wait, all right, 39 seconds, and then it'll be an hour done. Like, that's just, I don't know. To me, it's foolish.
Well, kind of on that tune of speaking of things that are becoming more popular, Andy, you were making mention of the craft beers that you've been trying to try out, and maybe they're not up to snuff in your world.
I don't know, man. I like beer, but I grew up on like just standard American beer, Budweiser, Miller, and
Coors Light,
Coors and shit, and so with
Milwaukee's best,
Ice House, whatever
the
hell was on sale. Ice House, but the explosion of craft beers the last 10 years and
IPAs.
IPA, that's the new shit right now. I mean, I've tried a bunch of them, and to me, it's just, I don't know if I'm so used to, you know, American beer's always been shitted on because it's like just piss water or whatever, but the explosion with craft beers, and I tried a handful of them. There's a couple that I like, I mean, but majority of them, I feel they're overpriced and they're not that good. And then the new thing with the IPAs, I tried a bunch of them, and I don't know. I think it's just overrated stuff. We're getting to a point where, I don't know, like if I do want like quality beer, I'll get a Sam Adams, because they do have a couple different flavors. But the other
Sam Adams, can't go wrong.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Like I like their Boston Lager and stuff like that. But I've tried some other ones. The Fat Tire beer and all this like Goose Island for a while, that was the shit, but then they got bought out by Anheuser-Busch, so they're part of the big conglomerate now. I mean, they started here in Chicago, and then I tried some beers from like Wisconsin. When I went out to California in January, I went to a bar out there, and they had all sorts. It's just nothing but craft beers, and most of it was just like, oh man, like I don't know, like it was just, I did not like them. And then they just, that's when I saw the big explosion of like late last year in January, IPA. They had IPA everything out there. Now all the restaurants you go to, IPA this and IPA that and all this of their craft beer selection. So I don't know. I just feel like they're overrated. I mean, there's a couple that I like, but mostly I don't like any of them. They're just too artsy, or
yeah,
they're just out there for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of them just try to throw flavor for the hell of it, you know. They'll throw tamarindo up in there, you know, just trying to make something different.
Yeah, they're just trying, like, to make it different.
You know, not every flavor makes a good beer, man. But there are a few that I like, you know, like that Summer Shanty one. I don't know if it's Sam Adams or who does that.
Line and Cool.
Yeah.
Line and Cool, I wouldn't consider that a craft beer, but, like, they started trying different beers, like the Red, the Killian's Red, or what I remember, the Summer Shanty and all that. The summer, you know, like Sam Adams, the summer one is pretty good too. But like those, I don't consider those craft beers. I think those are like just big corporate beers. I'm talking about like take it down another level. Like you can only see them like in certain stores and stuff.
Oh, so even like below like the 312
Yeah, that's all corporate shit. Yeah, that's like part of 312 is in that Goose Island, so that means Anheuser-Busch owns them. They're part of a big conglomerate.
So you're talking about just like Joe's Beer at a local bar or something?
Yeah, they have like that Fat Tire one. What's the other one? That's the pretty popular one I see. And then there's a couple. And like all of a sudden you see like the new one, IPA, all this shit. Like, yeah, everybody has an IPA, like some beers that companies or brewers I've never heard of.
Everybody keeps talking about it. I've tried three different ones, and I didn't like any of them. I thought it didn't taste good. It had, like, a bitter taste.
It's the hops, right?
And maybe it has tons of flavors, but maybe that's not what I'm looking for in a beer. I don't know. Maybe I do want piss water. I don't know what it is, but
I think some of it
just doesn't. It doesn't taste good.
That's what we grew up on.
It's generation, exactly.
Yeah, it's like growing up.
People with old style, they like old style. Yeah, and to me, old style tastes like shit. But there's people that love old style because that's what they grew up with, I guess.
I think old style is more of a Midwest thing.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I don't know if like big Chicago, like Wisconsin, Indiana, I don't know how far in the Midwest it goes. But I know like on Better Call Saul, that show, when he moved out to New Mexico, he went to visit his brother, and he's like, oh, it took me like 2 hours driving around, but I found something from back home, and he bust out a six pack of old style. So I you know, again, this is probably like a Midwest thing or a Chicago thing, I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it is, because you see those signs everywhere at those old bars, cantinas. you see that old style sign hanging out the outside. So, yeah, I think it's an old school, you know, Chicago. I mean,
when's the last time you drank an old style? Man, I haven't drank one maybe in 10 years.
Well, I know it was the beer of choice for my dad for many years when he was younger. So I had a taste of one, and it was pretty disgusting. I haven't had one recently.
You did not like it?
I haven't had one, like, recently, yeah, like, within the last decade. I haven't had one in a while. Yeah, so I'm not really sure. Maybe it's better than I remember it, but no, I remember it tasting kind of nasty.
Maybe that's a good thing, man. I remember as a kid, I think it was, like, 5-6 years old, I went to bowling back in the day, Dad bowled.
Yeah.
And I was thirsty, right? But like, we were ready to leave, and they didn't want to go back to like the restaurant thing that's in there, and I think that might have been closed anyway. She's like, just have a sip of my beer. And my mom's like, no, don't give him that. But he's like, let's see if he likes it. And then I tried it, I almost threw up, and he's like, there you go, don't ever try it again.
So there you go, man. My dad got us against old style, and now we're Coors Light. At least that's my beer of choice.
That's your beer right now.
What yeah. about yours, Andy? What
I don't know, like I said, if I just want like a cheap beer, I'll get like a Miller Lite or a Bud Light. But if I want something with flavor, I'll get like a Sam Adams.
Sam Adams. What about you, Noel? Are you drinking any beers right now?
You know, I don't drink too much, but I did before. And I like the Coors Light if it's out of a keg or if it's out of a bottle. Summer Shandy from Sam Adams is good. Or Lightning Kugel, it's a tie.
It's that time of season. They should be rolling that out soon.
Yeah, usually I try to buy a case of that, or at least the variety pack, because they come with like 2 or 4 shanties and a few other flavors. And I know my wife, she likes those dark beers, those like Guinness-looking beers. So usually they have like 2 of them in that pack. So
yeah,
get a little bit for each. But something else that you said you were wrapping up with is that comic book that you had mentioned a few episodes ago, The American Splendor.
Yeah, so I bought they made it into a movie a while back. We talked about it in one of the episodes. But I did buy a trade paperback. It comes with his first 2 collections that were released like in the 80s, and they put it into one big book. And I'm like almost done with the first book. And I picked it up the other day, and I started rereading it, trying to finish it, at least the first section of the trade paperback, the first half of the book. And, you know, it was written back in, like, in the 70s and 80s. And to some of it, like I said, I like Harvey Pekar because it's, I like what he writes. It's like, you know, ordinary life is so complex. And to me, that's, like, a big thing with me. But, like, in one of the stories in there, he's talking about how he's trying to hook up a friend with this other chick. This is back, like, I would guess in the like late 70s, early 80s. And he, you know, he would shit the shit with them. And he would go to the movies, and there was like this older lady there, and they would talk. He's like, I got a guy for you that I think you're going to like. So he tried to hook him up. But his friend was always like, oh, okay, great. Give me her number, and I'll go talk to her one of these days. And he, like, delayed it for months, and he's going into, at length in the story, like, he don't understand why he keeps brushing it off, meeting this woman. And ultimately, he goes, they meet up, and he's like, oh, let's go check out your friend then. So they go, they talk, and then in the comic, you see Harvey in the background, like, man, he's thinking, like, man, he's fucking this up. Now I know why he didn't want to talk to her, because he's not confident with the girl. And he does. He's just like, he's not finishing it up. So he's like, I had to step in and help him out. And you know, he's talking about like, oh yeah, man. Like, don't you know her dad? Her dad wrote books. He's like, oh yeah. But he's like, Harvey would say, all he kept talking about how cold it is, and he couldn't change the conversation. And I tried to help him. But ultimately, like, you could tell the girl wasn't into him, the lady, and he goes, yeah, he fucked all that up. He's never gonna, he goes, afterwards, I don't think they ever went out on a date. He's like, I tried to help him out, but I could see some guys are just not closers. They still get tripped up when they talk to these women, and he was like, I don't get it, like, but whatever, he goes, and, you know, I still see him from once, you know, time to time, but I know he never went out with that on that date. So to me, it was just like, it was a funny story to me. I'm just like, damn, and even like in the 70s and 80s, they get the same shit that some people got going on today.
No, for sure, man. Relationships are hard, man. It's hard to speak to women and You know, some women think it's hard on their end as well, but I think it's harder to be a man trying to initiate a conversation or initiate something with a woman.
No, yeah, it's... I mean, all you could do is talk to them and you see what happens. I mean, they really ultimately... You gotta spit that hot fire and hopefully they loosen up a little bit. But some of them, you know, they're just picky. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, you gotta break that wall down, like you mentioned. So you're finishing up that comic book, and it's kind of like we mentioned a couple episodes ago, man. It sounds like a real interesting movie. I still haven't had a chance to watch it or read the comic as well, but from you describing it, man, it sounded very interesting.
Yeah, he's, like I said, Harvey is. I know he just released something recently, like a couple of years ago, and through the Vertical publishing through DC. So, I mean, he's older now, but he still writes stuff. And the movie kind of helped them get more stuff released. But overall, I mean, yeah, he's, to me, it's just simple, man. It's a guy from Cleveland. He, you know, he worked. He didn't like his job too much. It wasn't fulfilling for him, so he started writing comics. He got Crumb to draw his comics, and from there, he shot up to a little bit to fame. He was on Letterman. Him and Letterman fought. And to me, it's like the simple shit. Like everyday life, you know, people, people want all this extravagant or extraordinary shit. When you have to me, day to day stuff is very complex. It's supposed to go easy for you, but every day is a new challenge, and you got to just work through it. Some days it's frustrating. Some days there are good days and there's bad days. But overall, it's very complex. No matter how easy you want to make it, day to day life to me is like real complex.
It's true, man. To me, myself, I do think of my week as steps. You know, Monday is the first, Tuesday is the next. And so I don't count down like the year or months. I look it down to the day individually, even my day at work. You know, as soon as I get in, I look at the clock, 10 o'clock. All right, cool, man. I got a few hours in. Couple more hours to lunch. Just got to make it to lunch. Boom. You make it to lunch. You're like, sweet. Couple more hours and you're on your way home. Boom. You get home. All right. Couple more hours. And then we're going to be getting ready for bed. Boom. Time to go to sleep and start all over the next day.
I mean, it's.
So, you know, I kind of break down my day just because you said, you know, it's complicated. You know, it's not simple. It's sometimes it's not, you know, just, you know, you wake up and before you know it, man, the day flew by. It's time to go to bed. You know, sometimes the day is busy and it's, you got a bunch of shit. You got to pick up a line. I got to get Junior to do his homework. Got to take a shower. I got to give Junior a bath. Got to do this, got to do that. And it's like a busy day and it's like superly complicated.
To me, like real quick, just for day to day, for me, I would prefer routine, but I don't get the routine. The only routine I have is work. So every day, you know, I wake up thinking like, okay, that is going to be, it's not going to be a too bad of a day. And then that's my mind. Nobody wakes up and goes, man, fuck, I don't want to wake up, or fuck, this is going to be a fucked up day. I mean, once in a while, you probably think that if you got something really stressful going on, like legal problems or, you know, you got to deal with certain shit with family or whatever. But overall, you wake up and you're thinking like, today should be, hopefully, you have good intentions to get the day going. And just like always, shit happens, man. You just wish you could have it, like you said, the clock. Oh, it's 9:10, lunch, boom, boom, boom. Go work out, go do this, time to watch that, or I got to do this. And nobody's like, man, this is like, I don't want to do shit, or this is fucked up. It's just routine. To me, routine's a big part of life, and a lot of people say it's boring, but that's what life is, man. You could only do so much if you're not rich or, your fulfillment's got to not lower your expectations, but you got to understand what you can do at that time.
No, sure. I think routine's a big part of it, man. To me, my whole week is pretty much planned out except for the weekends. But even sometimes on the weekends, you know, it's like, oh, we got this party to go to. We got to go to this luncheon. We got to go see my mom at this time. So even the weekend sometimes gets busy. Especially with the summer, with birthday parties and or whatever else there is that on that week. But my week is busy, man. So a lot of it is planned out and it is a routine and it is the same thing over and over again. But you know, I find it fulfilling just to accomplish that without going crazy. So, you know, some people that's not good enough, but to me, you know, I'm happy with my little routine life and just going 9 to 5 over and over and over again. But some people want more, and you know, good for them, man. Hopefully they find that shit out there somewhere.
Yeah, no, I think for me personally, routine on a certain level is necessary, but not for everything. And I think spontaneity needs to happen for certain things. But it's good also getting the good habits. For example, do either of you guys wake up to music or listen to music as soon as you wake up?
No, I usually I have the radio on, but I'm listening to like sports talk. And then I shut that off and then I get my day going. And then I once in a while I listen to music, but generally no.
Okay. Usually I listen to like a podcast on the ride to work. But as I'm getting up, Junior and Alana are usually asleep, so I got to be really quiet, get ready, get my shit together, and get out the door. But yeah, usually I don't really start hearing tunes until maybe like the afternoon or like early afternoon. I'm done with my 2 or 3 podcasts that I wanted to catch up for the day. Now it's, you know, let's listen to Google Music or Pandora or whatever and just catch some tunes and, you know, just kind of chill out the day. Yeah, usually not right away in the morning.
Okay, yeah, I'm just curious because it's one of those things that I ask people. It's one of the routines that I have, or habits that you could say. I wake up and I've tested it without music and with music. And with music, I generally wake up with a more like positive, like enthusiastic attitude towards the day. Whereas if I don't have music, I get up and I'm still sleepy. I could never listen to the radio with talking because I just go back to sleep, dude. So that's one of the reasons I don't. But music, like, especially depending on what you listen to, if it's like upbeat, there's no, you almost want to dance. You wake up, you're like, yeah.
Like let the bodies hit the floor or something, you know?
No, I don't know. Nothing like that. No headbanging shit, but.
No? Oh, okay.
Something upbeat, you know?
Yeah, a couple years ago, I read a book. which one was it? It was a Joel Osteen book. And he would talk about when you wake up, you know, you would say this prayer or whatever, but he would be like think positively for the day and shit like that. And ever since that, I tried some more, you know, I try to be more upbeat when I wake up and not to like to think like, oh, today's going to be a good day. And, well, you know, you talk to God or whatever your higher being is, Noel, and you talk to him, and then you know, and then you just go from there and try to keep positive outlook. Because in general, I am positive. Every once in a while, I do get a little negative or get down about shit. But in general, I try to think
that
like
Jay in you, man.
try to keep positive outlook for the rest of the day.
I hear that.
You know, so because like I said, you don't want to wake up and think, I mean, it's gonna be a shitty fucking day.
Well, there's a lot of research done into just the power of thinking. And there's actually proof of it. Like, prayer does work, and they've proven it, and it's kind of weird the way they did it. There was I read this maybe about, like, 6 years ago or something like that. I was reading about, like, life and health and how to be healthier and all that, and there was an article about a group with cancer. There was one that got prayed for, and the other one did not. And neither one really knew that they were getting prayed for, right? It was an outside group that was doing that for one group, and then the other group didn't get anything.
I hope it wasn't Mormons.
I couldn't tell you on that. But the group that got prayed for, a lot of them actually got better. More so than the group that didn't get prayed for. I don't know the specific numbers right off the top of my head, but it pretty much proved that with similar conditions, prayer and the power of thought does manifest certain physical realities. That's also in the law of attraction, physical or just positive thinking and visualization.
I'm sick. I was thinking about laws of attraction. So you go see a chick and we walk in with like a boner. Is that going to help you out, or is that going to be a negative thing? I'm attracted to you.
Are you in a strip club or like?
Damn, man.
If they get a strip club, they probably throw you out for that one.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Andy. Come on, man.
I'm sorry, man.
That's a valid question, but I don't know, man. I don't know about that. I don't think it'd be good.
I don't think so either.
You know, it's harder for guys because a guy can be aroused, but then they'll know, and a girl could be aroused, and you'll never fucking know unless she shows you like. She wants to show you, you know? But it doesn't matter if a guy wants to show or not. You get aroused, that's fucked.
Yeah, I guess that's why they don't let you walk into the strip clubs with jogging pants, right, Andy?
Nah, man. I think my cousin found that out the hard way.
What about with the Speedo?
I think they'll throw you. They won't even, they're like, get back in your car. They won't even let you walk up to the door.
For sure, man. But the last thing you kind of mentioned, Andy, for your week is that you watched that documentary that Beto was recommending for our Bloodsport talk last week.
Yeah, we were talking, me and Noah were talking about Bloodsport. I don't know. I don't remember if that was the first half or not. But yeah, no, it was in there because he messaged me about it. So he recommended this documentary because it's a Canon film. It's called The Electric Boogaloo, The Story of Canon Films.
And now, is it Electric Boogaloo from the breakdancing?
Yeah, it was the same company who made it. They talk about it.
Holy shit.
So he's talking about these two Jewish guys from Israel that came. They made movies in Israel. They made a lot of money. So they're like, let's make movies in Hollywood. And they go out here and they make a lot of just 80s, B-movie crap. And the movie American Ninja, they did stories. They did this movie about a ninja. When Frank Nero, they dubbed over his voice. It made a shitload of money. So they made sequels. And they made two. And then they made three. And the third one, I've never seen. I seen the first one. But apparently they put the woman ninja. They make the first woman ninja. But she gets possessed by the first ninja. It's just goofy. And they're these ninjas are performing an exorcism on her and shit. It's just tripped out. I got to see this movie because it's so horrible. They talk about breaking, how it did a shitload of money, and then they actually talk to the chick that's in there, and she looks old, dude. But yeah, the second one, it was just they made a shitload of money. Let's just make more, put more money into it, and let's have all this crazy dancing. And then, but the overall it was good. They talk about He-Man. They had Dolph Lundgren. He's like, I felt stupid making that movie. They have Chuck Norris. They gave him all this money. Talk about Invasion USA and all this shit, and dude, we're gonna give you Uzis and we're gonna give you fucking motorcycles with rocket shooting shit and technology, and Chuck Norris, we made they made a shitload of money for him. And they talk about how they took over the Death Wish franchise and that Charles Bronson didn't want to do it, and then they kept going more and more. The first movie is it's a film. It was it talks about how shit was fucked up, street crime. Then the second one, he's just out there shooting everybody. Then the third one, he got bazookas and shit, and he's fucking up everyone. And Chuck Norris by the end, Charles Bronson was just phoning it in. The guy's he did not want to do none of these movies, but they made money and he was getting a check, so he's fuck it, I'll make it.
Yeah, I remember when my dad was growing up or coming up, he said that those were the only movies that he could really watch are these big action movies because he didn't understand the language, but you could understand the bad guy versus the good guy.
Yeah.
So movies like that really attracted him versus, big dialogue, heavy dramas and stuff like that. So action movies was his haven when he was growing up.
I always thought he liked them because he looked like him. He had that mustache and everything.
Well, kind Charles of, yeah, Bronson. Too.
Well, supposedly, I don't know. I read somewhere I know he's Native American.
Yeah,
I heard he might be Mexican too. There's some Mexican in him.
Got some Azteca up in here.
Some Mexican, Russian, and something like that.
And that's why then all his shit no dice. He just start fucking up people, and that resonated with a lot of and the Mexican community. I guess my dad liked them too because he was fucking up people right and left too.
Yeah, for sure, man. So it sounds like a good documentary. We're gonna have to take a closer look, or at least myself. I know Beto messaged me too about it, so I got to take a look because it does sound interesting. And
maybe it is on Netflix,
Give me some insight to maybe some of the old 80s movies that I used to watch. But jumping into this week's articles, man, the first article here that we want to quickly talk about was how the FBI just recently put out a warning to car makers and owners about hacking risks. Now with all these cars with these smart computers inside of it for review cameras and so forth, the FBI and the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration recently put out a notice saying that cars are more increasingly vulnerable to hacking. Now, since maybe, what is it here, since last year, no, 2015, Chrysler had recalled 1.4 million cars in order to install software that would help prevent it from being hacked, or to at least be a deterrent to that. And the article goes on and on, makes mention of General Motors last year. They had to also install some software for their smartphones as well, because their hybrid electric cars, the Volt, there was the possibility of hackers starting the engine or even unlocking the doors. In 2015, January 2015, BMWs also had something similar with 2.2 million vehicles affected, where doors could be remotely opened by hackers. So it looks like it's an ongoing thing. The last one here that it kind of mentions is in 2014, Jeep Cherokee. Theirs was probably the most severe, according to this article. Hackers could actually control some of the steering, the transmission, and the brakes through hacking their vehicles. So it's kind of scary, man. It's like, you know, we get this new tech, everything's going up, you know, all these hybrid cars and, you know, all these nice little gadgets in your car. But, man, it becomes more, you know, increasingly susceptible to, you know, hackers and people that want to do bad shit out there.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, you know, the cars are getting more high tech, but, you know, the article talks about a little bit what they can do, but it doesn't say, like, okay, I could get, like, they could open the doors. Okay, is that something you got to fix? Because you don't want them breaking into the car, just doing what they got to do. But, like, how they control the brakes and the transmission, like, I don't get, like, I don't understand how would that benefit the hacker? Like, what, they just want to mess up your car?
Maybe just to be malicious and just do bad shit to you, you know?
Yeah. That's the only thing I didn't get. Like, okay, so they're hacking it, and then, like, okay, they're going to open the doors. But I'm pretty sure they could kind of figure out how to encrypt that. But, like, the other stuff, like, I just don't get it. Like, oh, well, what are they going to fuck up your transmission? Like,
it's the protesters trying to keep Trump for going to the rallies, dude.
That's why I'm like, well, what's their intent? Like, they just generally just to be malicious and fuck up your car.
Yeah, I mean, I would say are the biggest one probably be theft, you know.
Yeah,
if you kind of lock somebody's car and then turn it on, well, you can drive it off and steal it and then, you know, sell it in the black market or whatever.
What if they just want to clear up some lanes, turn people's cars off, and put them off to the right side of the road so they could just pass on through?
There you go, man. You control their steering, man. Transmission.
I rented a car last year. It was, like, really high-tech, and it had, like, cameras and all this GPS and fucking sync stuff, and it was kind of scary. And not scary, but I was like, okay, this is cool. But then I'm just like, why do we need all this crap? And, like, you know, the backup camera is cool, but I don't know. To me, like, I don't get, like, how can they want... They're like, don't even turn your head. Just look at this little screen while you're backing up. Yeah. So, like, what happens if, like, I don't know, like, you run over somebody, but there's nobody in the little box. Like, what, did you not turn your head? Well, like, I don't know, like, that's one of the things they hack it and they put, like, some other picture in there. And then you just run over people.
It's like GTA all day.
Yeah, it could dude. Be, I guess. I'm like, it's like, dude, they don't even want you to turn your head. They just, like, look here. Like, I saw some people got those at work, and I still see them turning their head back. They won't even look at that.
I still turn my head around.
I know younger people, yeah. They're just going to be looking at that thing. Well, nobody was there. Like, oh, they hacked into my car, dude. I didn't know. Nah. Like, some excuse for that. And then, like, you see this article. Like, it could be a valid point.
I don't put too much trust in just one thing, like a rear-view mirror like that, or the camera, I mean. I actually look at the mirror. I look at my sides. Because I've had situations where I'm backing out of a parking space, and it's hard to see when there's two cars parked beside you, right? So... Yeah, you could look
at the grocery store and stuff, you're saying?
Exactly, okay. Yeah. And it's crowded, right? And there's a lot of people going through. So you don't know how many seconds you have until you can get out safely, right? Because there's always cars going through. So looking at that camera, it's no guarantee that there's no car coming on the side, you know?
No, for sure.
Like that same car I was driving, I remember driving up to Minnesota, and it would tell me when on the side if there was a car that was real close, like this thing would start beeping. And I would look, and there was just a car in the next lane over. And I was just like, okay, wow, yeah, it's like right there. I could see it. Like, but why is it telling me this? So now I'm thinking, like, if something happens, is they're going to use this well, the car notified them that there was a car there, and like, but the person hit me, or I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking like all this legal shit to blame. It's just to pass the blame, to figure out who to blame in all this.
No, my car is like them old flip phones, man. It just drives, and that's it, man. That's all it does. So I don't know all these gadgets, but yeah, you constantly see these commercials for, you know, alert, you know, when you're driving, it'll tell you, hey, man, you're about to crash, make a turn, or even cars that'll correct its steering for you, you know, like it'll start jerking the car to one side, you know, to kind of tell you to move out of the way.
There's commercials for that now. I forgot who I was a maker, but I'm like, what happened if there's like a glitch and that car just slams the brakes and you're not even driving?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of scary, but, you know, I guess it's proven tech, I would imagine. I don't think it would be some kind of, you know, thing they drummed up in a year and they just kind of threw it out in the market. I would imagine they've been field testing it and kind of proving out the concept.
They got recalls on all these cars all the time.
Well, yeah, that is true as well.
They're trying to make a Minority Report happen. You remember that movie?
Yeah.
Where they had traffic and everybody was like, their cars were automatically like driving for them. So traffic wasn't an issue anymore because everybody's like, you know, in sync. Or so to speak.
No, yeah. Kind of like the Google car.
So you're going to jump into the other moving car like Tom Cruise?
Yeah, dude. That'd be sick as
Well, the evolution of the cars, man, it continues. There's this other article we were looking at that says Toyota plans to be done with gas-powered cars by 2050. So it seems like a long time away, but, you know, 35 years. Be just around the corner about the time that we'd be retiring here, but it looks like my kids will be driving. They said they want to grow the hybrid market a lot more and bring in those hybrid hydrogen fuel cell vehicles out within the next 5-10 years. And then from there, they're going to start moving to, you know, maybe completely powered cars, you know, kind of like the Volt and other stuff like that. But there you go, man. More tech, more, you know, less gas dependent, which is also a good thing. So it just keeps increasing and it keeps moving, man. We can't stop it.
I was reading that too, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's a good thing, less dependent on gas. But like, I thought like cars like the Priuses and like you don't see them being as marketed as much as they once were with the price of the when we had the price drop in the gas the last couple of months, and you don't see a lot of people buying those vehicles. I don't see them out here where we're at, but I would figure we would see more by each year. You would see more and more on the road, and for a while I saw them everywhere. Now I don't see them as much as I used to.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's when the gas prices started going up really bad that you started seeing these smaller cars, less trucks, less big SUVs, because gas was getting so ridiculous. But now that the U.S. started tapping oil here in the States, now gas prices have gone back down. But now big cars are you know, more, you know, out there now instead of, you know, the decline that we were seeing when gas prices were higher.
Because I'm looking into getting a new vehicle. A new truck, but I remember when gas was real expensive. Like, I think my next car is gonna be a hybrid. And I did see a couple, and they weren't badly priced, but I'm like, you know, to me they're not good looking cars. I mean, but I know they'll save me on gas. But like, I was some like, oh, should I get my truck or should I get an SUV or should I get a car? Should I get the hybrid? Now I'm a little bit more reluctant to get it because I don't see them everywhere, and gas prices is somewhat affordable, and I don't know. So I don't know what else they could do, because the hybrid was the, you know, that everybody was saying that's the future, and I haven't seen anything else. I know there's other technologies with like natural gas, but that's not prevalent here in the States, in the United States. So I mean, gas for right now, I think is the only viable option besides the hybrid. And I don't see them changing that anytime soon or seeing what else they could do.
I mean, I understand people's view on gas and like how it's negative for the environment and everything. And I'm glad we're moving more towards electric and things like that. There's so much technology that could be used more efficiently than, you know, the combustion engine. But I think the people that hate the combustion engine and cars and what they've done to the environment, I think those people need to realize how much the combustion engine has helped us grow as a civilization, society, transportation, and all that. ambulances. Imagine if you're going to take somebody to an emergency room on a horse. Like, come on. Like, you know, it's gotten better because of the combustion engine. So many things are possible now. Transportation for groceries and foods that would have taken months on a horse. And you think those horses are going to be treated nicely from all the people that are using them? No, dude. So better to have a car that's metal and be able to beat the shit out of it and do what it needs to do to get transportation and get things moving. And yeah, good that we're finally doing electricity and all that. But it sucks that the environment has been affected negatively, but at least now we're making plans to do, you know, right. And it helped us in the long run. It helped us, you know, as a society. So.
Oh, yeah. We hit that big boom. I mean, just heating and air conditioning in cars, man. That wouldn't be possible in a horse carriage. Mm-hmm. Actually, just really quickly, I don't want to get too much into it, but I started watching The Hateful Eight, and I only got like maybe 15 minutes into it. But it got me thinking because the movie starts off and it's set in a blizzard. So they're riding this horse carriage, and man, these windows are open to the horse carriage, man. So this wind and the snow is coming in, and I'm just like, man, it must suck, man. Even though you're inside of a carriage, so maybe it's not hitting you directly, but that wind is still hitting you. I mean, you got no comfort of, you know, turning on the heat, and you're like, oh, man, it's nice and warm in here. Or it's nice and cool in the hot days, you know, you turn on that AC. So I'm like, man, it sucks. And then the horses, man, they're exposed to all this wind, and man, they're knee deep in snow. And I was just like, man, it must suck for them too.
Oh yeah,
you know. So no, for sure, man, the combustible engine, man.
Just put fucking gas in it and get going. I mean, the batteries. We had an electric car, just they got taken away. I mean, you seen that documentary, right?
I've seen a bunch of
Ford, who was it? GM made it, and then just somehow they got rid of it. They just decided, we're not going to do this, and it worked. It was a perfectly working car.
This is similar to me and my stance to the legalization of marijuana. There's tobacco that's legal, but marijuana is not. And it seems like gas and is more viable, and electricity is not. Yet both marijuana and electricity are more make more sense in terms of comparisons to tobacco and gas. But government
knows. Marijuana, I just saw something on that yesterday on CNBC in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And there's growing pains for it, but they let you grow weed for recreational uses. Mm-hmm. But there's still like a booming the legalized version where you can go and they got all these fancy weeds and normal weeds, and there's like the selection has grown. It's safe, you walk in, you get it. But there's like an underground element to it that they talk about a little bit in the documentary, where people still sell a lot of weed illegally, or what, you know, the state calls it illegal, because they're allowed to grow it, and they do they sell it to other shops, they sell it to people at homes, and it's like all done on Craigslist and the internet, or they mail it out. But they, you know, people think, oh, it's legalized, it'll be gone. There's still like a lot of I want to say illegal, but it's building another subculture, because I think the tax, if you buy weed, is something like 30%.
I think I know what you're talking about. Like, they try to sell it like more on their own versus in a storefront, and I think that happens for anything. Like, I've seen people sell kids beer because, you know, they want to make money and the kids want to drink. It happens all the time for all different things. Pack of cigarettes. Hey, mister, can you give me a pack of cigarettes? Oh, yeah, you know, here on this, you know. And then it happens. You can't blame marijuana for that. That's just the way that it is, man.
But yeah, since, man, they were the first ones, you should check it out. It's it highlights the pluses, highlights the negative. And people are like, well, there's going to be no more, you know, people selling weed on the corner. But it's still, it just evolved into something different. So people could grow it, but they it's more like a wholesale business. They sell a lot to the shops, and they got like their little niche customers. And the guy goes, "Well, why do people buy from you?" Well, I give better pricing than the shops, because the shops gotta pay for all that shit,
all the taxes, like, yeah, and all that stuff.
So, you know, it's a good documentary. It was on CNBC. It's a booming business.
Do you remember the name of it, any chance?
Oh, man, something that was like Colorado marijuana, like 2 years later since they passed the bill, and they had the governor on there. He's like, yeah, we are just going through a lot of growing pains. We collected a lot of taxes, But right off the bat, you see there's a confrontation between the police and like a shop. And they're like, the cop's like, you can't be doing this. He's like, this is private property. I am not breaking any law. And the cop goes, you cannot be doing this. He's like, oh, yes, I can. Well, you're going to have to go to court. He's like, I'm in litigation. I forgot what the deal was. It was something with the parking lot. And he goes, you can't be doing that in the parking lot. Like, yes, I can. No, you can't. And then, like, well, we need you. The cop's like, we need you to cooperate. And the guy's, I will not cooperate with you. And you have to leave my property. And they talk about it's something. I just remember, I don't know if they were, like, smoking in the parking lot or he considered that his property, but it was, like, fenced in. And that was a big issue. And, like, that's one of the small things, like, little things that they're deciding where you can smoke, if that's considered public or private, because it's a parking lot, it's a business, and all this other shit. And the other type is
it would be private, because I mean, if you leave your car there,
but it's towed, a business, right? So I don't know. That's what they're doing. So I mean, it make a lot of valid points on it.
I have to check it out. Yeah.
No, cool. So check it out, guys. And thank you for checking this out, man. Thank you for listening. And also visit our friends at 1893 Coalition, man. They got some great stuff as well. Intellectual Nonsense Enthusiast Project. But follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Freeform Network, and send in those questions, suggestions, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Visit our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see all the links for all the various devices that you can download this podcast. If there's still something on there that you usually use and you would like for us to add our podcast down there, just let us know. Shoot us a line and we'll be happy to try to reach out and add it to that device. But again, hit that subscribe and like button, man. We really appreciate it. Gets those numbers going up. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel.
This is Noel.
Smiling Andy.
Yeah, we're back together again. Hopefully nothing goes wrong with this recording. And thank you for listening, and we will see you all next week. Have a great one.
Dad.